evening, everyone.
Evening.
Hope this is on. Sounds like it's working. Okay, I think these will go off soon, but you'll still be able to see me. Carl, welcome back. Good to see you back again. And those I haven't seen for a while, good to see you all tonight worshipping with us. I know a couple of people are away on holidays, and we will also be praying for them. As Rowan mentioned, we are, of course, starting a mini-series tonight. And just to remind you how that works, for the last 2 years, we looked at the book of Proverbs in between our major series. And tonight we start a new series looking at the book of Psalms. We won't be looking at all of them, but as our year focus is upwards, God matters, we will be looking at some of the Psalms that are only focused on praising and worshipping the Lord and helping us really focus upwards in our lives. So that's why we'll be looking at these Psalms we are looking at in this series. And we start with Psalm 8 tonight, as Bruce and Matt mentioned, and as you saw and as you heard as well. A wonderful Psalm to start the series with. But before we look at the series or start the series, let's just pray that the Lord will open our eyes to see Him. Father God, as we open the book of Psalms tonight, Lord, as we now focus on Your Word, I pray that You will open our eyes to truly see who You are. Lord, as we start this series, help all the sermons and all the messages and all the services we have when we do look at the Psalms really be a song in our hearts that is worshipping You and to the honor of Your name. I pray, Lord, that we will get to see the more of Your majesty tonight as You reveal Yourself to us. Pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, looking at Psalm 8, if we look at the world we live in, it certainly seems as if everything revolves around us and where we are and around the earth. And that's the way people thought for many years. It looks as if we are standing still, the sun is rising in the east and it moves the whole day and then sets again in the evening, and then the moon comes up in the east and sets in the west as well. And the stars seem to be moving around us as well. This morning I didn't know where east is, and it's actually over that side, I think, and west is over there. So that's, it seems like, how everything is moving around us. Until about 500 years ago, that's what all the scientists and all the people thought how our solar system works. So if you have a look on the slides, more or less that's how they thought it looked. The Earth was at the center of the solar system, and then you had the moon, you had some planets, and then the sun, and then the planets continued on. And then one person about 500 years ago stood up and said, well, this is not how it works. Galileo Galilei, a well-known Italian philosopher, scientist, astronomer, said, actually, the sun is at the center of our solar system, and we revolve around the sun. They didn't take very kindly to this. He was charged and he was accused by the Roman Inquisition in 1615, and he was found guilty of heresy, and he had spent more than 20 years locked up in his house, being imprisoned in his house under house arrest for this heresy of saying that we are revolving around something else. I think it's very philosophical as well, because I think that actually the church at that time even took it further than that. I think that they probably thought that the universe was revolving around them as a church and around Rome itself, and maybe even more so around the Pope, and everything revolves around him. Now, this is something that happens today as well. So many people think and act as if the universe revolves around them. You met those kind of people? People who think that they're at the center of everything, that they are the most important. They're never wrong. They never say sorry. Everything is about them. And everything needs to revolve around them. We all know those kind of people. Well, if you think about it, it's a natural temptation we all face. Because the world that you perceive seems to revolve you as well. If you just stand still and turn around, it is as if everyone else is moving around you. It's all about who you are. Your thoughts are the only thoughts you have. What you're thinking is the only things you think about in your head. You don't know what others are thinking. So it's very easy to think that everything revolves around you. Your family, your friends, they're all the people and the things around you. Psalm 8 is a psalm that tells us that that's not the case at all. In God's universe, it all revolves around the Creator. It's all about God. The whole creation revolves around Him and centers on Him and proclaims His name. We are not as important as we think. The beginning and the end words of Psalm 8 says this: O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. If you look at Psalm 8, you'll find that it's not even a psalm teaching us about God's glory. It's a prayer focused on God. It's words that we bring to God to glorify Him. That's the whole focus. And that's why in this psalm you find the words that it's all about Him, you. Every now and then it's repeated, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children you have ordained praise. And when I consider your heavens, the work of your hands. See, there's a very specific intent for it to be focused on God and not on us at all. It's all about Him and how great He is. It's a focus shift in our universe to understand that it's all about the God we worship. And the whole of creation is displaying and declaring this. If you look at Psalm 8 as well, you'll find that it compares quite closely to the creation story. It's a psalm or a song about the first days of creation, Genesis 1. And a lot of those things in Genesis 1 are repeated here. The heavens, the earth, the seas, the stars, the birds, the fish, and mankind itself. All the things are repeated, but David, as he writes the psalm, focuses on three things I want to point to tonight, and that is how the universe declares God's glory, how children do so, and then how man do so too. The life of man does this too. So let's look at those three things as we find them in the psalm tonight. The universe declares the majesty of the Lord. If you think about Psalm 8, if you read it again, you can just imagine that this wasn't a psalm that came up into David's heart at daytime. The words that he uses suggest that it's something he thought of and something that woke in him during night at some stage. Maybe he was still a young boy tending his flock, and as he was lying in the fields in Israel in complete darkness, looked up at the stars and could just see the glory of the Lord in the stars above him. Maybe David was walking on his palace roof one night, as he often did, but then looked up and saw the stars and the majesty of God's creation and stood in awe of what he saw. Not because of the universe he saw, but because he saw through that the Creator of the universe himself. Some things David didn't understand even as he looked up, but yet he was in awe of what he saw. And let's just think about that for a moment, of what David actually saw. Now think about distance. David didn't realize that the stars that he was looking at, the one that was actually closest to him, and I'll get the figures right if I look down, the closest star is 40,000 billion kilometers away from him. Or the furthest star that you can actually see with your bare eyes are 20 billion kilometers away. Now, that's a number that we almost can't understand. But that's how the distance is in God's creation. David didn't understand the greatness or the size of this. Now, for you just to understand this, this is a good metaphor I picked up. It says, in our galaxy, if you compare our galaxy to the size of the Earth, then the Earth in that galaxy would be the size of one grain of sand. on this earth. That's the greatness of our galaxy. But there are billions of galaxies. If you think about the numbers, just think about this. There's also another metaphor or illustration that helps understand this. If you take a dollar coin and you hold it at arm's length, that little piece of heaven that it covers 15 million stars. Now there are about 100 million or 100 billion stars in our galaxy, and there are billions of galaxies. And that's why we learn in God's word that the stars cannot be counted, because surely that's the case as well. There are too many. Now David looked at all of this and he saw the greatness of God's universe without even realizing this that he was actually looking at. And when he compared that to the one who created, he says that God didn't even have to use his arms to create this universe. Psalm 8 says, by the wave of his finger, he placed all the stars in their place. That's how easy God creates. That's how great he is compared to this creation. If David wasn't a believer, wasn't inspired by the Holy Spirit, he would have started to kneel before the stars and the sun, as so many people did back then. But the Holy Spirit worked in his heart, and he could see more than creation itself. He could see the Creator behind it all. It all declares the majesty of the Lord. It all declares to us and shows us who the Creator himself is. See, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit works in our heart as well. When we as Christians look at God's creation. When our eyes are open to see His majesty, then we look at things and we stand in awe of what God has done. Not of what we see as much, as but more than the one who did this. For those who know me a bit better, perhaps, I truly love nature and love creation itself. And coming from South Africa, this is part of how we grew up. And very often, I went to the Kruger National Park, not because it has such a very special name, but it's a very special place to go to. And I actually studied and became a tour guide and did about 40 tours there, taking tours there. But every single time, you stand amazed at what God has done. When you look at specific things, small little things, you stand amazed at that. And one of the small little things that always just reminded me of how thoughtful God was in what He created is just the fact that He gave cats eyeliners and He gave them different colors. If you think about it, a lion, for example, God intentionally gave a lion white lines around its eye at the bottom so that that could reflect the light of the moon and the stars when it hunts at night to see its prey better. And compared to that, a cheetah has black eye lines around its eye and its nose because that then draws in the bright light because it's a day hunter. And small little things like that. And when you see those things, you can just, as a Christian, see that this isn't something that evolution could have done. This is something that a wonderful, powerful God created. And you stand in awe of what you see. And this is what David was experiencing. As he was just looking up, he could just see God's majesty in all his works. And he was blown away by that. In the very next verse, something strange happens. David says in the next verse, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. And that's quite a strange shift. He goes from the universe, billions of stars, the greatness of everything, and he turns back to little children and babies and infants. See, God is saying in this psalm, I think as well, that He's proclaimed and declared our King in everything large and small. He's the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. We see Him in great things, we see Him in small things, and small things, as small as infants, will also proclaim His glory. Not such a strange shift to make, because we often see this happen, I think, as well. And if you think about it, we see this every day. When you hear these words of the lips of children proclaiming God's praise, I normally think of a choir of little kids maybe in heaven one day or whatever, singing to God's glory. But it's so much more than that. You actually find this happen in the Bible, and we are told this, when Jesus enters Jerusalem, children start singing. And they start singing on the streets, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And many of the adults, many of the Pharisees got annoyed by that, because church and praising the Lord and saying these things, those are things that adults should say, not kids should be bothered with. So they turn to Jesus, quite annoyed, and they tell him, do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. "Well, yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise?" See, children and small little ones are very precious to the Lord. And we read that through the Gospels as well. Before this even happens, we read that Jesus tells his disciples, "Whoever humbles himself like this child," he says in Matthew 18, "is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And when his disciples prevent children from coming to him, he gets annoyed by this and he says to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The small little ones are important to God. And I can just imagine that God has a soft spot for little kids as well. Just the way that we feel very often when we hold a little baby. They seem so vulnerable, so humble, so small. And I think God looks at his creation and he sees that in what he has made as well. It's much more than just a choir singing to the Lord. We see God being declared king, his majesty being displayed in the lives of little ones. When little babies can't even speak it and they make a little sound only, it's God being glorified in that. When small little babies laugh and smile, God is glorified. When young little toddlers give their first steps, and we celebrate that, God is glorified. When young little kids grow up to be teenagers, and they change, and they grow up, and we as parents go through that with you, God is glorified, because we can see how he is with all our kids and with people as they grow up to become adults as well. God is glorified in the lives of small little kids. That made me think as well how important kids should be to us. Very often we focus at church, and we do so here as well on Sunday school, because we see the children as the future for this church. But even more than that, the little kids we teach about God is glorifying the Lord and praising him and proclaiming him. When they come back from Sunday school with a picture that they drew about God giving them a nose, God is glorified. But if that's the case, if a small little baby who can't even speak yet can glorify and praise the Lord, shouldn't we who can speak and understand even not more so do this every single day? We understand what we need to do and we have the words for it. Maybe we too should be more intent and focused on glorifying the Lord. David, I think, helps us understand this as well when he tells us about man and who we are compared to the Lord. Now, if you think about this and what he says next, you see two things. He talks about our weakness and our futility, but he also talks about our greatness. How God created us. Verses 4 and 5. "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor." We have been made as God's crown of his creation. If you read the creation story, you will find that every single day when God made something, at the end of the day, he looked at it and he said, "It is good." But on the sixth day, when he created man, he looked at him and he said, "It is very good." Why? Because he now created something that would represent him on earth. Something that would be there in his image. something that would be able to have faith in him, would be able to think, would be able to govern on his part. Something that others would look at and see him. We are the crown of his creation. But David also wants us to understand that compared to the one who created us, surely we are nothing. He says two things. What is man that you are mindful of him? And he uses a word here that very often is found in the Bible, but every time it's used to signify our weakness and our frailty. Enos. And then he continues to say, and what is the son of man that you care for him? And for this he uses words Ben-Adam. So he uses a specific word to remind us that we were created from dust itself. That's where Adam comes from. We are nothing compared to God. It's all about the Creator. It's not about us being the creatures. And yet, so very often in life, that is what we think. That the world should be revolving around us, and we are so important, we are so great. We have studied mankind for so many years, and scientists can now look at your DNA and they can indicate what color eye you will have or things like that. Aren't man great or mankind great? Well, God did this and he put this together when he created mankind many years ago. We're not that great. We think that we are powerful and we can do many things because we can have someone go to the moon and walk on the moon. Well, guess what? God, with the use of his finger only, placed all the stars in their places. We are nothing compared to him. It's only by grace that we can actually look at all of these things and see who he is and see him and have a relationship with him and even be counted as his heirs, his sons and daughters. And the grace for that we find in Jesus Christ in Psalm 8. Points us to that as well, because Psalm 8, the Hebrew writer says, points to Jesus as well. He writes in Hebrews 2, quoting this again, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him." And when he uses these words, "You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings," he's pointing us to the suffering Jesus had. The fact that he became man for our sake. That he came down to earth to suffer and be crucified for us. He was made a little lower than the heavenly beings for our sake. But then he continues to say, and he was crowned and crowned him with glory and honor. And that points to Jesus rising from the dead. And ascending into heaven where he now sits on his throne. See, Psalm 8 is a psalm that reminds us and revolves around the wonderful, majestic name of Jesus as well. In him only do we find the grace to know this powerful, wonderful God. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Those words now we understand to point to the greatness of Jesus. Jesus, our Creator, our Maker, our Brother, our Friend, our Savior, our Redeemer. How majestic is your name in all the earth. May we look for that. May we see that. In the small things, in the large things, in the lives of little kids, in the things that we go through in life. May we look to see the name of our Creator as a name on his painting, his creation. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, our Lord. What a grace, Lord, we find in being able to say these words. To know who you are as the Lord, the Creator, but also to be able to add to this, our Lord, our Father, in heaven, all because of the wonderful works of Jesus. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Father, I pray that you will open our eyes to see more of your handiwork, to see your name as you have written it down on all the things you've done. As we look up into the heavens, Lord, as we look at little children, as we look at insects, as we look at everything you've done, Lord, help us just to see your majesty. Help us just stand back as Christians and see who you are and stand in awe of your creation, Lord, and praise you and worship you as you deserve. Lord Jesus, how wonderful is your name in all of creation. Lord, help us declare this too. Help us show this. Help us proclaim this to others. As we go through this week, Lord, help us to just be able to share this with others, that you might be honored and worshipped. Pray, Father, that you will be with us to see this and to do this in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.